Yeah, we are. Okay. Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. Everybody, please rise. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. What do we say when I say Christ is risen?
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. It is wonderful to have you in the house of the Lord this morning and to share this wonderful experience with you of worship and in song and word and scripture. It's going to be a beautiful worship service today, and we're so glad that you're here. To save time, I'm going to ask that when we pass the peace, just pass the peace to your neighbors. We're going to give the choir all the time that they need. Just turn to your neighbor and say, peace be with you. Peace be with me. Peace, Pastor.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you, honey.
Peace be with you.
Couple quick, and I mean brief, announcements I'd like to make shortly. Good morning. Couple quick and brief announcements I'd like to share with you. First of all, I want to thank all of you for your support and helping me through seminary. I'm now Pastor Fran Ronan.
Wait a second.
It's right in here. I also want to thank Kay Porterfield for her apple fritters. Thank you very much. A week at summer camp takes about 8,600 minutes, give or take. I'm going to take about two of them to show you how cool camp can be. If you'll look on the overhead. Good morning.
30 seconds.
That was exciting.
So at seminary, well, I'll read the ending first and we'll come back. If you're interested or interested in helping sponsor a child or youth to summer camp, you can see me after the service. This will show you a little bit about camp for the Methodist Church that we would send them to. And it's And by the way, I'm Fran Ronan, Fran the Man Ronan. I'm the church youth director, recently finished with seminary. All right, I'm forced to this. Why did the cookie go to the doctor? He felt crummy. Yeah, we'll come back. To make that video. If you have any questions or desire for just scholarship some children to camp, let me know after church. Thank you.
How many kids
are we sending? Three. Yep, three. It's in the bulletin, the price breakdowns, etc.
If you would, turn in the front of your blue bulletin to the opening words. The tomb is empty.
Christ is risen.
The soldiers have returned home.
Christ is risen.
The anger of the crowds is gone.
Christ is risen.
The time of grieving has ended.
Christ is risen.
Violence, fear, death have disappeared.
Christ is risen.
Come, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Amen. 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 If you would please stand and turn to page 302 in your hymnals.
We will sing Christ the Lord is risen today.
Today, ah, alleluia.
be seated.
We have the special privilege today of receiving into the membership of our church two people who come to join with us, as well as the baptism of two children. And we are so pleased and happy to share this experience with both their families. I'm going to invite you all to turn to page 33 in your hymn books. And if you could bring up your hymn books when you come with you, or at least one or two hymn books. I'm going to ask that Nolan and Julian come up with their parents, with Chandel and Maverick, to stand over here close to the baptismal font, and Connie and Tony Delapass to stand over here on this side. You want to come too, Grandmama? All right. All right, then. And bring the baby on this side so I'm close. And Julian, can you scoot over a little bit over here? You can stand. Yeah, we don't have to kneel. But Julian, you can kneel, Julian. That's perfect. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. I present today for baptism Nolan Stowers and Julian Wilson. And I present today to come and join our congregation, Connie and Tony Delapass. And now I ask this question of all of you to renounce your sin and profess your faith on the top of page 34. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
Do
you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
And now specifically for the parents, let me ask you this. Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Okay. And Connie and Tony, I ask you, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Okay. And now, at the top of page 35, I address you, the congregation, who reaffirm your faith. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that Jesus taught. And I ask all of us now to join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We will actually now move to the top of page 37, and let me do Julian first. Julian, are you ready to be baptized? Okay. Sorry, the water's a little cold. Try to warm it up a little bit. Julian, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And will you place your hand on him? The Holy Spirit worked within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And now let's do little Nolan. Hey, buddy. So who's going to grab you? Hi. Hi there. Okay. Nolan, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And will you lay your hands on him? The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's look at these two handsome young men. Come out here, Julian. And we're going to show everybody who these young baptismal recipients are. They got matching clothes on. I don't know if I want to give him up. What a sweetie he is. Hey. Hey there. He's going to give me a big smile. Yes. He's going to give me a big smile. Oh, that's wonderful. Here we go. Yeah. Don't go anywhere just yet. Here are the two certificates, one for Julian and one for Nolan. And then I asked now, red number 12, confirmation or reaffirmation is for Connie and Tony. And I asked that they would remember their baptism and be thankful. And if you would both kneel. Connie, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Tony, the Holy Spirit work within you that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may stand. Now I have a couple more questions for Connie and Tony on page 38. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to to strengthen its ministries. As members of this congregation at Calvary United Methodist, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
I will.
Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Will you respond?
We give you thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you
in the body of Christ,
and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. God bless all of you. Congratulations and welcome. Congratulations. We're so glad to have you. I think that's mine. Thanks. I invite now the ushers to come forward as we continue to serve and worship God through the giving of our gifts. And that reminds me, if you brought your Lenten folders, you can bring them and put them in the plate now or bring them next week when you come. Let us pray. Lord, gracious God, what a beautiful morning it is. We give you thanks and praise for the days that you give us. Every morning is a new day to celebrate your resurrection. Help us to lead lives knowing full well that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Guide and direct us and keep us in your love and care, and help us to be your faithful servants in all that we do and all that we say and all that we are. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
The scripture reading this morning comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, starting with verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," said these things to her. People of God, thanks be to God. In Tinker Creek, the author Annie Dillard told she would place a penny in the crack of a sidewalk or in the crook of a tree, and then she would draw arrows pointing to it, and she would entice people who were passing by with words like, "Money this way," or "Surprise ahead." "I was greatly excited," she said, "during all this arrow drawing at the thought of the first lucky passerby who would receive this gift, regardless of merit, a free gift from the universe." Curiosity is an underlying theme of the Easter story. Mary Magdalene's curiosity is piqued when she discovers the stone in front of the tomb has been removed, and her first reaction is fear as she runs to share her anxiety with Peter and another disciple. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb." Peter and John, what she is saying. Empty tomb. Mary is, as she sees the tomb, what Mary sees in the tomb are two angels in white are there, and they ask why she is weeping. "They have taken away my foot him." She turns to Jesus, but she does not recognize. Same question, and he is asked the same question. Why responds with curiosity of Jesus' body? Mary is in grief, and things are not as they should be. People deal with loss of a loved one in unique ways. Grief becomes complicated when there is no sense of finality. Jesus' body is gone, and Mary is left wondering how to make things right again. I know a friend of a friend who is listed as missing in action from the Vietnam War. His daughter has been to Vietnam seeking information about him, only to be imprisoned herself. Still, the family clings to hope. His wife continues to list her telephone number under his name as Lieutenant Colonel. The grief process for the family continues to be incomplete, as it was for Mary, who was unable to find Jesus' body. But in the conversation with this individual, whom she believes to be the gardener, something happens to change her level of curiosity. Jesus calls her by her name, Mary. And at that point, she apparently wants to try and touch him. And he says to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father." A new relationship emerges between Mary and Jesus. Her curiosity about a missing body is transformed into a curiosity of a spiritual nature with one word, the word Mary. Curiosity is also a part of Peter and John's story. Mary runs to share her experience of the empty tomb with Peter and John, who then rush to the tomb, John reaching the tomb first, and out of curiosity, John bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. Peter's curiosity moves him to enter into the tomb. Then John enters the tomb, and we are told that he saw and he believed. Given that the disciples return to their homes next, it's not clear exactly what John believes. The gospel also indicates that neither John nor Peter understand the scripture that the Messiah must rise from the dead. So whereas Mary's curiosity moves to a spiritual level once Jesus speaks her name, it would seem that the curiosity of Peter and John remain on a different level as the two continue to muse about the missing body. Pilate also displayed curiosity about Jesus. "Are you the King of the Jews?" he asked Jesus. And when the Jews report to Pilate that Jesus claims to be the Son of God, Pilate responds in fear. "Where are you from?" he asked Jesus. Although Jesus explains that his kingdom is from a different world, Pilate continues to see him as the King of the Jews. On a sign above the cross, Pilate angers the Jews by writing up there, "The King of the Jews." "What I have written," says Pilate. And his curiosity about Jesus never elevates to the spiritual level. The curiosity of the Pharisee Nicodemus moves him to become a disciple, although secretly. Nicodemus seeks Jesus at night so no others will see him. Now, as Jesus' body is moved from the cross to the tomb, we find Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, preparing Jesus' body for burial. It is said that Nicodemus brings a mixture of myrrh and aloe weighing about 100 pounds. This Easter story piques our curiosity. None of us enter the story from the human side. Today, we are not curious about a missing body. We are, though, quite curious about the resurrection. Like Mary, we have heard Jesus call our names. We know about the empty tomb. And all of us here are at some level of spiritual curiosity, wondering just what a resurrected Christ means for us. Mary Magdalene's curiosity is transformed as she encounters the resurrected Christ. She wants to touch Jesus, to use her physical senses to satisfy her curiosity. The resurrection however, moves us to a different level, a level of the ultimate and the eternal rather than the physical. God has drawn arrows toward the divine truth for us, and at the end of those arrows is a free gift from the universe. If we allow our concern about worldly matters to control us, we may miss the opportunities offered by God. The risen Christ is calling our name. The risen Christ calls us to a spiritual level of curiosity to receive the gift of eternal life. Amen and amen.
Attention. amazing, breathtaking. There will never be a moment in eternity when His love will fail to inspire worship from His people. From before the foundation of time, our God has displayed a fiery love for us through His incarnation as He walked in our world. When He saw a need, His heart was touched, and He reached out. All the ways God displayed His love for us, none is greater than the giving of His Son to be our substitute and to pay the price for our sin.
All the Lord.
His journey to the cross began before the dawn of time. Before the creation of the world, God chose for himself a people. But he formed us. He knew we would rebel, break relationship, and choose to go our own way. Therefore, in great undeserved mercy, he sent his son, born of a virgin, to walk among us for 33 years. His final week was with the culmination of his years of teaching divine truth and telling us of his coming kingdom. But the people weren't interested in the spiritual deliverance he offered, and instead merely hoped he was bringing a political revolution.
Jesus Christ.
And they led Jesus away to be crucified on the cruel hill of Calvary. Nails pierced his hands and feet. The jagged thorns from the crown dug into his head. The splintered wooden beam was torment upon his already torn back. He struggled for each breath, yet in the midst of his agony, he never spoke words of vengeance, only grace and compassion for others. There were Roman soldiers, professional executioners assigned to carry out his crucifixion. They witnessed every moment of Christ's time upon the cross. They experienced the supernatural darkness that fell upon the world that day. They saw the difference in how Jesus died. They heard his cry of, "It is finished," as he willingly gave up his life. Then suddenly, the earth shook violently. They were terrified.
Son of God. Bending low to see, one moment changing everything. Wounds that pierce your majesty, a crown of thorns for heaven's king.
Sin and shame, a love that
I'd like to thank Rhonda. She's our only soloist in the cantata. We were worried she was going to sing so low you couldn't hear her. No, we weren't. And we'd like to thank Joel and John back here on bass and drums there with the Navy Band over at NAS Jacksonville. They're out on work release. We'd like to give a special thank you to Mr. Bill and Nancy Walker. Not just for the narration, but they're responsible for the content of this Easter's cantata. So give them a big hug. I'm sure they can use it. And God bless you all, and thank you for coming out. We've got one more for you.
Thank you, Andy. It was love. As if his great love for us were not enough to leave us forever amazed, the Easter story is one that moves from glory to glory. 3 days in the borough tomb in the early morning hours of Sunday, the heart of heaven in our Savior began to beat again. Life returned. Death is forever defeated. He is risen. There is no love like his. And now we know there is no power like his.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome. Amen.
You should hear him when Kay Porterfield's up here. If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to 370, we will sing verses 1 and 3 of Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
With you until we meet again. Go in peace. Amen.